It's what that moron will do. What does General Scheib have to say about this? Coggins's lips pressed into a thin, hard line. At last she answered. He doesn't believe the North Korean missiles can reach San Francisco. He thinks Honolulu is their likely target. I see, said the security advisor. Urgently, Coggins pleaded. We've only got a half hour or so before he's scheduled to land. You've got to warn him. The security advisor wasn't accustomed to making snap decisions. All his life he'd waited until all the available information was in his hands before putting his reputation on the line. But he said, I'll put in another call to Air Force One. You know he's not going to like this. Better fled than dead, Coggins said with a grim smile. When she came back into the situation room, the group had again broken into separate little knots of people, except for General Scheib, who sat at his place with a plug in one ear, tapping furiously at his laptop keyboard, and Jamil, who still sat alone at the end of the table. Maybe somebody put glue on his chair, Coggins thought. General Higgins called to her from the front of the stuffy room. Well, what happened?
He's calling Air Force One and urging the president to turn back.
Higgins nodded. Okay, that's done. Now we sit and wait. Slowly, everyone returned to their seats. Turning to General Scheib, Higgins asked, Did you get the fighter cover you want? His face like a thundercloud, Scheib said, They're bucking the request to SecDef. The Secretary of Defense? Higgins frowned. He's a civilian. Coggins didn't know whether to laugh or growl. General Scheib said, Nobody wants to take the responsibility. Hell, I've already taken the responsibility, said General Higgins. Did you tell them I approved the request? I did. They're bucking it up the chain of command. To a politician, Higgins grumbled. And he'll just buck it up to the commander-in-chief. Scheib looked disgusted. They'd better make the decision pretty damn quick. If the North Koreans sent interceptors after Able One, that plane's dead meat. You've done as much as you can, Brad. Now it's up to the politicians. Higgins turned to the admiral sitting across from Coggins and asked, Has Honolulu been alerted? Nodding, the admiral replied, Emergency teams are being notified. We're telling them this is a surprise drill.
You're not letting them know that they may be attacked? Coggins asked.
And start a panic? The admiral snapped. More people would be killed in the stampede to get out of the city than if the city really was nuked.
Coggins saw that Jamil slowly shook his head. He knows better, she thought. He knows that if they nuke Honolulu, a couple of 100,000 people will be killed instantly, at least. Higgins turned the discussion to emergency rescue tactics. Coggins opened her mini-computer and, looking Higgins's way all the time, reopened Jamil's file. He's a Christian, she saw, with a quick flick of her eyes to the tiny screen. His whole family is Christian. That must be why they fled Lebanon and came here. And Higgins thinks he's an Arab. She smiled to herself. She wondered what General Higgins would think if he knew that Zuri Coggins was a black Muslim.
Maryland Heights, Missouri. Provident Trust Bank. Linda Sawazi saw her career go down in flames. The baby's due in 4 months, she groaned inwardly, and this is going to get me laid off for sure. Sitting in front of Linda's desk, Mrs. Markley radiated cold fury.
You are the branch manager, aren't you? Why can't you get the machines fixed?
Mrs. Markley was the seventh customer to barge into her office in the past half hour, complaining that the ATMs were down.